This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio, and we are live from the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences in downtown Raleigh. We are live streaming, video streaming, as well as audio streaming this program. So if you go to our website, stateofthings.org, you can see us as well as hear us and take a look at some of the pictures as well of the animals that we've spoken of. Well, you know, during storms, the rainwater runs off of our city streets. It goes down the drain. It goes into – that's the last time we see it. But it turns out a lot happens after that. It goes into the local creeks. It flows into aquifers and ultimately our water supply. And unfortunately, toxic chemicals, excessive nutrients, and just downright trash flow right into those creeks, and they pollute some of our most valuable resources. And that is the case, sadly, at Ellerby Creek in North Durham, but things are changing. The creek is the Triangle's most polluted stream, but the Ellerby Creek Watershed Association is doing something to restore its health. And here to tell us about the revitalization of Ellerby Creek and the association's first ever nature tour this weekend is Ellerby Creek Watershed Association Executive Director Chris Dreps. Chris, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Frank.
Also with us is an environmental educator at Duke's Nicholas School of Environment, Nicolette Cagle. Hi, Nikki. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Chris, tell us about the, first of all, the Watershed Association, I mean, and maybe Ellerby Creek. It's smack in the middle of the city of Durham, right?
That's right. Ellerby Creek is Durham's urban stream, and it's a small stream, runs right through the heart of Durham, right under the old Durham Athletic Park in one part, and east to Falls Lake, which is Raleigh's water supply.
And like a lot of those little streams in the middle of the city, easy to ignore and easy to neglect and abuse. And that was sort of happening to Ellerby Creek, like many other urban
waterways, right? That's right. For a century or more, we didn't pay attention to this stream. And in fact, we sort of didn't. We sort of threw things at it and didn't take care of it and neglected it. We're trying to turn that around.
That might have gone on for a long, long time and perhaps forever were it not for the fate of a lodge of beavers several years ago.
That's right. So over 10 years ago, the NC Department of Transportation had some plans for I-85, which runs right through the heart of Ellerby Creek watershed, and it was going to involve taking out a beaver lodge, and some folks in the neighborhood thought that was not right. And rather than get up in arms and cry and yell and scream, they held a pageant, and they got wild and crazy and made fun out of it and managed to not only protect that beaver lodge but create one of the best fundraisers for Ellerby Creek protection that there is, and that's the annual Beaver Queen pageant for Saturday in June.
I am honored to have been the MC and will be again for the past few years. The Beaver Queen pageant, as you say, is this explosion of creativity. And if you talk about it, I mean, what are we doing in creeks and water? This is a source of regeneration and creation. And so for a group of people to say, how do we fix it? Let's be as creative as possible, to me is kind of cool and to some extent quintessentially Durham and what you might find here in North Carolina. But Nikki, let me talk about this in North Carolina. How typical is the condition of Ellerby Creek in other urban areas just around our state?
You know, in North Carolina, we've got Charlotte, we have Raleigh, we have a lot of big cities, and these are pretty typical conditions in big cities. We have a lot of impervious surface, and that means a lot of pollutants can drain right into the rivers and creeks in our area. So this isn't unusual. It's not something limited to Durham. But what is unusual is for a group of people to be getting together and working to fix it.
Well, how do you fix it? What do you have to do, and how profound, how deep is the problem?
There are a lot of different ways to approach this. One is to decrease the amount of impervious surface, and one way to do that is to install green roofs. The other is to protect habitat. So you can have riparian habitat, that's the habitat along the rivers, and if you have that riparian habitat, it'll filter out pollutants before they get into the creek. It'll also keep the creek cool, which will help all the native animals in the creek as well. So those are some of the main ways, but also just doing education work, making sure people don't throw trash into the creek or dump oil into the creek.
Is any of the repair work, obviously the consciousness raising, don't mess up the creek, is a kind of an education campaign. But what about the repair and the restoration? Is it expensive?
Yeah, restoration projects are extremely expensive. One problem with urban creeks is that they often become channelized because of the increased water that's going in because they can't soak through the ground. They become very tight, narrow channels. And the creek is really supposed to meander. It's supposed to, you know, be a sinusoidal curve going across the landscape. It's not supposed to be a straight line. And so you have to have a lot of engineering background and skills and equipment to actually come out there and recreate that S-shaped curve in the creek.
Wait a minute. What was that what was that curve?
Sinusoidal S-shaped curve.
Sinusoidal. That is great. You know, if plant hoppers could say that, they wouldn't be banging on their plants so much to find me. So now, one of the ways to do, we talk about consciousness raising, Chris, and that's what this trail, what the hike is all about, essentially the guided tour. Tell us about that this weekend.
Yeah, so this weekend's Saturdays, Elderly Creek Nature Tour is the first ever tour. It's an event that happens entirely in the Elderly Creek watershed. So there are five stops along the tour, four nature preserves and one Creek Smart House. And all those stops are within the 5 to 15-minute drive of each other, so really easy to do. And really the idea is just to help folks, to introduce folks to their local stream and the importance of the stream and the beauty of the stream. We think of ourselves as a matchmaker, that people, we can help people to love the creek. The creek needs that love. And frankly, the people need to be out there in nature more. We all know that. So this tour is really about that. It's going to be a really fun event. There are a lot of details. Creektour.org is the website.
And you talked about nature preserves. Is there a legal distinction? Are they protected in the way I think a preserve might be? What do you mean when you say preserve?
Well, a preserve means that we have protected it with the intent of keeping it in nature. And that there are all sorts of legal distinctions, from federally protected land all the way to completely unprotected land. In the case of our preserves, most of the land we own has conservation easements on the property, which we've done voluntarily to prohibit ourselves or anyone in the future from developing the property for other reasons than nature preserve for public use.
And that means the Watershed Association has bought this property.
So either bought or had donated. We're not all about just buying properties. We just want to see them protected,
right,
whoever owns them and however that happens.
How wide an area do you need, Nikki, in order to really protect this? Because these are systems, and as you say, if they're going right, they're sinuous systems, meaning they're taking up even more space. So what is the tension now between the desire to develop and the desire to keep this thing healthy?
Oh, that tension is huge, because really to have a healthy creek, you need a lot of land, a lot of protected area, and you need to work at a large watershed level to get rid of impervious surface. And so it's a big task, and there are a lot of tensions. But there are things that everyday people can do. You know, you can plant native gardens in your backyard, and you can support the LRB Creek Watershed Association, make sure we can protect habitats, especially along the riparian zone. So you can focus your efforts to protecting that area along the creek. The riparian zone is probably one of the most important things that we can do.
And Chris was talking about the need to get out into nature more. And Nikki, I mean, you were talking about there is actual research that shows why this is more than just a walk in the woods.
Yeah, that's true. We have human beings get so many benefits from being out in nature. And, you know, there's a lot of research that shows that we're not connected to nature anymore. People aren't going outside enough. But if we did go outside more, research indicates that our stress levels would plummet. We'd have increased abilities to heal, so healing would actually happen faster. Domestic violence decreases when you have lots of nature in an urban environment. And then we have a whole bunch of ecosystem services, like decreased pollution. So trees are kind of like pollution scrubbers, and that helps improve our air quality. And then the riparian habitat decreases water pollution, and the water from LRB Creek, you know, goes into Falls Lake. People end up drinking that, and you could keep it clean from the beginning having that riparian habitat.
And you just get a stronger sense of your connection. And we talked about these complicated ecosystems within a single insect, and how you might want to call it, you know, sort of a species that might be taking advantage of us, but in fact we're living in a symbiotic relationship. I guess the more you see of that, the more you realize that my immune system is your immune system. So, Chris, tell us about the impact of just cleaning up the watershed, because it's easy to ignore. When it's got just plastic bottles and bags floating through it and smells funny, it's an easy thing for you to dump more garbage in. So what has been the effect over time of this place looking kind of pretty and people wanting, I guess, to take control, take ownership of
definitely
it, right?
We're starting to see the tides turn, and we're starting to see folks come to the creek and experience something beautiful and open their eyes and go, wow, this is a beaver marsh out behind an old grocery store. And there are beaver living here, and there are river otter living here, and the water's clean. And boy, this makes my community so much better. And we're seeing less trash. I do have to give props to the city of Durham, which puts a whole lot of time into cleaning, either under federal rules or under state rules, spends a lot of time trying to clean up Ellerbe Creek. And that's a big help in this whole process, too. And when people begin to – we see that the love for the creek is growing and the mistreatment of the creek is decreasing.
Well, and you saw that there's a particular story that I found fascinating. First of all, the success in preserving the beavers meant that you actually attracted trappers.
Yes, that's right. So we
this is great. Beaver trapping in Durham.
Yeah, one of the most interesting things that happened to me in the very first year that I was at Ellerbe Creek Watershed Association was – you know, we were on vacation at Christmas and got a call that someone is trapping the beavers on the Beaver Marsh Preserve. So what do you do? You can imagine a bunch of tree huggers up in arms about, well, what are we going to do? And we didn't have to do anything, because the amazing part about it was the folks who worked at Harbor Freight next door saw what happened. And it was their, they felt like this is their marsh. They were protecting the marsh, and they alerted us to the problem. They found out who it was. They had got a license plate, and we caught the trapper. And
so, yeah, it really makes a difference when people take ownership. Tell us more. So what are some of the other species that are there? No more hippos. The hippos are all gone, I guess. Yeah, that's sad.
No hippos.
We lost them. But no, what kind of species do we see?
Yeah, so around the creek we see a wide diversity of species. You know, the Ellerbe Creek watershed has – it's on a geology that creates flat – areas that harbor a lot of wetlands. So in our wetlands, we have a lot of bird habitat, and Nikki can talk a lot more about the birds that you might see out there. But the things we see in just one preserve alone, at the Beaver Marsh, for example, over 100 different species of birds that have been seen out there. The beaver, there's an active beaver lodge there. River otters, we see, the particularly ducks are one species we see, or one kind of animal we see a lot of. Lots of reptiles, amphibians.
It's going to be fun. We're talking about the nature walk at Ellerbe Creek this weekend on The State of Things. My guest, Chris Dreps, he's the Ellerbe Creek Watershed Association Executive Director, and Nikki Cagle is an environmental educator at Duke's Nicholas School of Environment. What about the migratory birds, and how important is this habitat for them, Nikki?
So especially this time of year, this property is so important for the migratory birds. And we have a couple different types of migratory birds. We have birds that are actually flying through the habitat and just stop over for a day or two and rest and eat. And a lot of those birds are coming through right now, like this week. And so when people go out, they might have the chance to see some of these birds, like magnolia warblers and rose-breasted grosbeaks. These are beautiful birds, and they're making their way all the way down to Central and South America. But then we also have another type of migration going on. There are birds that are coming from further north, from the coniferous forests in Canada and northern United States, and they're going to stay here for the winter. So a lot of those ducks that Chris was mentioning, they're going to start coming right now, and they'll stay here all winter long. You might get some other species, popping through too, some different types of egrets and herons and yellow-bellied sapsuckers, who's these gorgeous woodpeckers that make little holes in trees. And people will have a chance to see some really neat things.
And Durham is cool. So when these birds come for a day, they might just come bring their whole family. The food's good. Weather's good. So, Chris, yet again, give us a sense of some of the other activities now that are going to happen on this tour.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on. It's hard to say it all, but we have a lot of fun things to do. We have Piedmont Wildlife Center. We'll be at one location with a screech owl, box turtle, and a rabbit. We'll have a local animal rescue group called Claws that will be doing a raptor release. Well, they'll be releasing some of the hawks that they've rehabilitated. We'll have NC Herpetological Society and NC Partners in Reptile and Amphibian Conservation showing folks the reptiles and amphibians of Ellerby Creek. We'll have a host of other – we'll have naturalists at every site leading hikes, teaching folks how to do bird – how to identify bird calls, plant-based dyeing of fabrics, which is kind of
wow,
cool
yeah.
stuff. We have a Creek Smart Home where folks can learn about how they can landscape their homes to take care of the creek, because you actually can make a difference right in your backyard. We'll be giving a vision for how downtown Durham should be greened and how that will improve not only the downtown Durham's and the air quality we've talked about, but also the water quality in the creek. There'll be a whole lot of things going on.
Well, you know, it's interesting when the folks at the Eno River, that association got together and tried to protect the Eno. Developers were up in arms because they wanted to develop that land, and it was protection against them. Now the developers are the happiest people on earth, and they thank the Eno River Association for making it a place where people want to live, and so they can actually charge little premiums now for their things. So the good news is it all works together when you start making your place look great. I think it's a lot of fun. Thank you for being on the program. Chris Dreps, Executive Director of the Ellerby Creek Watershed Association, and Nicolette Cagle is an ecologist at the environmental educator at Duke's Nicholas School of the Environment. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. It was a pleasure.
You can go to our website anytime and get more information. The Ellerby Creek Nature Tour is this Saturday, September 20th, from 1 to 5 p.m. It is free. There's going to be all kinds of demonstrations, all kinds of displays. And thanks once again to the fine folks at WHQR for bringing the state of things to Wilmington. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.